I would absolutely love to go to Cuba before the McDonaldization of Cuba happens. It has actually become a centre for sustainability, and I haven't been there, but from what I hear, it's an incredible place because they've had to actually reuse what they have rather than throw things away, because they haven't been able to buy new things.
This is Catherine. She considers herself a sustainable traveller, well, has sustainability in mind when she's planning her next adventure. She says if she had the chance, she wouldn't stop travelling, ever, but knows that might not be the most sustainable thing to do.
It worries me a lot because I am really conscious that the single biggest thing an individual can do to contribute to climate change is catch an airplane. And once you're aware of that, it's very hard to justify travel to yourself. But at the same time, you want to do it. You know, you want to explore and you want to see the world. So what I do is, in my everyday life, I don't own a car. I walk everywhere as much as I can. I take public transport. So I try and limit my carbon emissions on that side of the ledger to try and make up for the fact that I do fly a fair bit.
Everyone has different places they want to go. You might want to go overseas, you might not. For me, I want to go to Iceland. I want to be on a mountain top with a radio and good batteries. And go to Bjork's for lunch. She'll have me. Maybe there are some cool places here in Australia you want to visit that you can drive to or don't need to hop on a plane to get to. Stephen Waring is an associate professor from the University of Technology, Sydney, and he says he's got everything he needs right here down under.
I remember I got brought up in the Northern Territory in a number of Aboriginal communities, and the question always was, why do you come here? Why do you travel? Don't you like where you live? And I suppose my thought for that was, yeah, I live where I want to go on holidays. I live in the Northern Beaches and I like the beach, so I tend not to travel, and I get hassled about that a lot. I turn down a lot of stuff overseas because of that. But if I'm going to travel, usually around longer periods of time, so going and staying, so I'll go for, you know, 3 to 6 months to work with a community. And most of my engagement is over long periods of time. So I tend not to be a short-term tourist, and I tend not to be a just going on holidays tourist. And if I'm doing that, I'll go to, well, won't travel, or I'll go locally.
I feel like as well as and good as it might be to pose something like that, I feel like a lot of people would be up in arms about it because everyone's today so keen, well, has always been, but so keen to go overseas and see different things, and to strip them of travelling might be a bit of a task.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. And here's me, you know, like at 58 going to people, well, you shouldn't travel, when I've travelled quite a lot when I was younger. So, yeah, I don't think that's a fair thing to impose on people. So the next step is then to think about how you impact when you travel. So that carbon footprint that you talk about is really relevant. It's about, well, how can I make this travel either useful or impact less? So where can I go where it might help people, or where can I go where I'm not having huge amounts of impact on the destination itself?
How exactly and what they're doing, being this eco-tourist, what is sustainable about that?
So for eco-tourism, which is a really specific part of like what you might call nature-based tourism, yeah, it's about then thinking about, well, when I travel, am I supporting things like sustainable impacts? Like, are they using solar, wind energy? Are they low-impact accommodation? Where is that accommodation? Is the money from that going back into, say, a protected area or national park where we're assisting with the development of that park or the retention of that national park? So we're minimising impacts, we're putting money back into communities and into protection of natural areas. So places like Binnaburra Lodge, which is an accredited ecotourism resort, which you can go and stay. It's more expensive, but they have everything is sort of self-contained there, so that they have very minimal impacts as a result of you staying there.
What are some of the other sustainable practices or impacts they can have?
Okay, well, so in a destination, there's sustainable criteria. So it's how you travel. Do you go to a destination? Can you hire a car that's an electric car? Do you use petrol-driven vehicles? Can you use just local transport? So all of those sorts of criteria, like if you go to Yosemite National Park, they now have electric buses. So do you stay in a big chain hotel, or can you stay in local accommodation where a lot of that money goes back into the destination itself? So starting to think about how it works at a destination and what you can do to support that.
How switched on do you think people are about their carbon footprint when it comes to their travels? Because if it were for me and I'd planned this big holiday overseas and I want it to be cheap, I'm still kind of just out of university, I sort of am working to a budget, I might not be so focused about how sustainable I'm being in my travels. But on the whole, do you think people think about this idea that much?
I think, yeah, well, the research shows that people are increasingly thinking about it. Like, a lot of people see themselves now as being environmentally aware. But the issue more is, yeah, when you're at home making that decision, yeah, I think that a lot more people do look at that. The issue is more when you travel to a destination and get there and then make a decision. And we've got research for backpackers that come to Australia that are travelling to the Blue Mountains for one-day trips, and they just make it purely on the budget. They're deciding value for money is the most important part of their decision-making. So they're not looking at if the company's accredited and what they're actually doing when they're up there.
How big of an issue is unsustainable tourism?
Well, it's the big one in the world today. You can see if you go to any of the web pages like Mallorca, all of these destinations that have become so run down that they're going to have to pour huge amounts of money to get them anywhere close to being acceptable as a sustainable destination for the future. So yeah, we've got so many tourists. Cheap air travel has meant people are going, and there's just so many coming into a destination. Those destinations just can't support it. The carrying capacity is by far exceeded, but the companies that are working there, it's profitability. There's a return at the moment for those destinations still where there's high profit to be made. And in neoliberal societies, yeah, we see, well, that's what drives the way we operate. So we're going to keep on doing it till it falls over. So we need to start to think about how do we change that. And local communities are starting to resist that, those numbers coming in. They're starting to have development plans and sustainability criteria where they're saying, say, no, we don't want any more, or no, we want to change the way we do this. And in Australia, like Byron Bay is one of the ones on the decline. There is just too many people going to Byron Bay. So the council and local community are looking at changing what occurs, changing zoning. You can't build more hotels there, and changing when people come and how people come.
Do you have any advice for a tourist who's travelling to maybe a huge metropolitan region overseas and it's a completely different scenario there?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one. Yeah, it's the main sustainability for those areas is really based around the destination authorities, the governance in those authorities rather than the tourist. There's not a lot you can do as a tourist in urban areas to change what you do, except maybe in accommodation sector, like staying in, again, in local destination accommodation rather than the big change, because money in the big change goes out of those regions very quickly, whereas money that's spent on accommodation in those areas by local providers is much more beneficial to the community. And that's probably one of the few things. But for destination areas and their governance, yeah, there's lots of things that can be done. And like Manly is a good example where it's, you know, considered a high-level destination in terms of its ranking as a sustainable destination. And they do an awful lot of things, like they try to minimise plastic bottle use so that there's water fountains where you can get filtered water so you're not buying plastic bottles. They support Far West Children's Home so that there's kids coming from Western New South Wales to have a beach holiday, and they support that through sustainability and social sustainability supported through that. And they've got one of the first management plans for Shelley Beach Cabbage Tree Bay Reserve, Marine Reserve. So they manage that so tourists can use it and local people can use it where it's managed so it's sustainable. So in terms of a destination, very much more about how the destination's managed in particularly urban big metropolitan areas rather than what the tourists can do.